Okay, comrades, I've mentioned before that we've had some people coming in for quite some time over the past 10 days or so, some from as far away as Europe. I ran an interview with a Swedish comrade of ours last week, and so we've got some comrades here from the East Coast who have come to look the homeland over. They're planning on making their migration fairly soon. This is Tom and Jerry, not their real names, of course, and no, I didn't name them after the cat and the mouse. Those of you who are of a literary turn will probably recognize the characters in the famous Pierce Egan series from the early 19th century, but that's a little bit too esoteric for most of you. Anyway, these comrades have come to begin the process of making their migration home, and we're just going to talk with them a little bit today about the various things they've seen and their own personal sort of racial journeys, etc., etc. Hi, guys.
Hello, Harold. How you doing?
Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
Well, I suppose the first thing we better do is tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves. I always find it fascinating as to how people eventually come to racial consciousness, how they find the Northwest Front, how they make the decision to come home, etc. So could you give the listeners a little bit of your backstory?
Yeah, for me, well, for 36 years of my life, I've basically just living a typical American life, not having a clue. And on one of my deployments overseas, I came across this David Duke video, and I thought, wow, what a evil, horrible man, and I'm going to debunk everything he's saying. And then I went to start to research it all, and I realized, wow, there's a lot more to this than I thought, and it just went from around there looking and looking and learning about the Jewish question and this whole fallacy of equality. And then I was looking, what can we actually do about this? And enough seems to have the only actual plan that has something that will work. Now I'm here right now, trying to make it happen.
Well, for me, I'm 33 years old and I've got two children. And when my children start posing questions to me about why is it that certain teachers favor brown children over other children, that kind of raised a red flag. And additionally, as Jerry just stated, I also was unaware of a lot of these things that were going on. Jerry was kind enough to point these out to me, and being the good liberal I was about a year ago, I decided that I'm going to prove him wrong. And every single attempt to do so, I realized, ended up in a superfluous argument that really didn't amount to much of anything except words. I started to listen to Radio Free Northwest and realized that everything that they're saying on there is true. So I decided, rather than bang on the keyboard like a lot of you guys like to do, I'm going to actually make a trip up there and check it out for myself. And being here for just about a week now, I've seen that, well, it's an awful lot of everything that I've always wanted and never been able to have where I'm living now. Additionally, the people here are just as kind and welcoming as the scenery is beautiful. So as soon as I get back, I'm going to get my things together and head on up.
Well, I gather Florida has kind of hit the skids over the past 20 years. I mean, you had everything from the Mary Alita boat lift and all the Haitians coming in and so forth and so on. And Florida is now a majority non-white state. I understand that in large parts of the state, you have to speak Spanish in order to get a job, that sort of stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is true. Right now, children 18 and under in the state of Florida are the minority, or white children 18 under in the state of Florida are the minority. And pretty much you just walk around, it's niggers, spics, all type, mestizos, any mud. I mean, it's something straight out of one of Harold's books, basically. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with that. I actually found myself, because I am bilingual, I speak English and German, I found myself learning Spanish, whether I was trying to learn or not. So it is, in fact, true that that is the case.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also, too, as far as that statistic about white children 18 and under being the minority in the state of Florida, Florida also holds several of the metropolitan areas out of the 35 metropolitan areas in the United States where white children 18 and under are the minority as well.
Well, I know that we don't want to get into too much detail as to your job skills and your resume and so forth and so on, but in general, how is the job situation shaping up for you guys? Because that's what a lot of people have questions about.
I'd like to answer that. Well, as far as my job and my job skills, without getting into too much detail, when things went sour with the economy, I lost a very good paying job, and so I decided to go to school. I attained one lower level degree in college and was looking for work and wasn't able to find much of anything except for what I was doing previously. And doing that now, I'm making less than half of what I used to make.
And for me, I've got a contract I'm still on that I won't be able to come to Homeland just yet, but hopefully I can somehow work something out to get here earlier, or I just have to wait till my contract's up, and then I will be out here, definitely.
If there is really any one thing that I would like to tell people, get out from behind your keyboard. I've always lived my life not behind the keyboard, just a little bit. I think that I may have sent 4 emails before I came up here. So quit being a sissy and do something. I'm really tired of having to be the only person who ever does much of anything, and I'm a little bit disappointed in some of you.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing about that as well. It's only been 2 years I've been racially conscious and awakened to this Jewish question, and I look back and what I've been researching my own on Googling and books in the past, and I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? Why has anybody done anything or tried anything? And just get up here, let's do this. We can make this happen. We really can.
Well, as I mentioned to you earlier, I myself am very disappointed in the fact that there is not more up here after, 10 years after I myself came home than there is. But we're going to have to just sort of agree to have a moratorium on recrimination, I think, because the situation is getting worse and worse, and we need to think about what we need to do in the future. I know a lot of people have trouble wrapping their minds around the idea that we have to start building the kind of infrastructure and the kind of support network that we should have started work on 50 years ago, but we didn't. It's a shame that we didn't, and we can sit here and recriminate about it all night, but the fact is that it still has to be done. We shouldn't have to be starting on this project right now of building from the ground up, but we are, and we need to go ahead and get on with it. Now, I need a lot of guys like you to come here, bring their families, bring their assets, bring their skills, bring their whole lives here, and start getting settled in and building that infrastructure and that support system. I want to make it absolutely clear for those of you who still haven't got the message. This is not an NVA situation up here yet. When you come to the Northwest, you are not going to find a revolution going on. You're not coming for the purpose of joining in the Great Uprising or anything like that. The settlement process and the process of independence here in the Northwest is going to be very similar to what it was with the first English colonies out on the eastern seaboard. First, they came in their ships, then they built their cabins, and they laid out their farms, and they raised their livestock and their crops, and they went to church on Sunday, and then they got maybe a city council or a mayor, whatever, etc., etc. But the actual revolt against Great Britain in order to establish an American nation did not occur for almost 150 years because they had that whole colonial period of settlement first. Unfortunately, time is telescoped these days, and we probably don't have 150 years. Again, it's a process we should have started many years ago, but we didn't. But it's useless to cry over spilled milk, and we need to go ahead and get stuck in on it. Maybe this is what it's going to take for people to finally get up off their ass and do something. The fact that white people are becoming a minority in large parts of this country. Maybe that is what will finally set off the spark, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, it actually had a lot to do with my decision to come up here. When I'm coming home from work, the same people that are out in the morning sitting around doing nothing are there sitting around doing nothing 10 hours after my shift ends. And it's really discouraging knowing that I'm paying for them to live in a bigger house than I have, than I've actually just lost to the bank. So if that hasn't happened to you yet, mark my words, it will happen to you. And when it does, you may want to consider coming up here before the fuel prices reach what they're going to reach.
I have a confession to make. I listen to right-wing talk radio on occasion, including people like Rush Limbaugh. And Limbaugh does have a certain point, but he believes that it's possible for Romney to get elected president in November, as if that would make any difference. Limbaugh and his kind seem to feel that there are still more producers in this country than there are takers, more taxpayers than tax eaters, as I've heard it put. But I frankly am pessimistic about that. I believe personally that Obama is going to be reelected in 2012 because there are more takers than there are producers. We are finally outnumbered. It's not even so much a racial thing because there's a lot of white idiots that are going to vote for a socialist welfare state because they think that they're going to benefit from it. For example, a large part of this Occupy movement was carried out by spoiled brat students who want the government to pay off their student loans. So I'm not too optimistic about Romney winning in November. And even if he does, it's not going to make any difference because capitalism isn't the solution either. The only real solution to the white man's problems is our own country.
That's absolutely true, I feel. I've never really gotten into politics so much. I'm more of a kind of live my little life day by day as I can. Just enjoy my life because you only do get one of them. And why am I going to worry about all these lies that these people are spreading? Because that's essentially all it is. They're both liars. All the candidates that we have, it's like choosing, do I want to have my left leg broken or my right leg broken? Well, personally, I need both of my legs. So I got to choose a third option. And honestly, as I stated before, this is the only option.
Yeah, I gotta confess, too, I do indulge, though, maybe as my own litmus test, as I see it, with opinionated talk show hosts, and it was quite an experience, too, when I found out most of them are Jewish as well, like Mark Levin, Todd Schnitt, and others, or the rest are just a bunch of neocons, and it's so amazing listening to them and having this new perspective, realizing what they're really talking about, what issues they're pushing. But yeah, going into the ballot box, pulling the lever, that's not gonna do anything. Nothing at all. It's a waste of time.
You know, these Jewish talk show hosts basically are there to guide and channel the whole right-wing talk show movement or whatever you want to call it and make sure that it remains supportive of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
You may have noticed that a couple of days before this was recorded, Romney went to Israel and just made an absolute fool out of himself and cussed out the Palestinians and did everything short of bending over and kissing Benjamin Netanyahu's ass in public and made it clear that he would fully support any attack on Iran, which is insane. And so, folks, you need to understand that while it's true, I will simply feel a lot better without a nigger in the White House. I guess I still have just that much red, white, and blue American patriotism left in me from my youth or whatever, so that I really feel sick and I just, you know, I don't feel right with a monkey sitting in there in the Oval Office. The fact is that the vast majority of these neatly coiffed white assholes in business suits who've sat in that chair aren't any better. I personally consider Ronald Reagan to be the last true American president in the old sense. And of course, he was asleep during his last term. And basically, Nancy and George H. Bush were running the whole country. But effectively, Reagan's second term was George Bush Sr.'s first term. But there is no hope in the system. The only hope that the white man has is for a state of his own where we control the government, we control the police, we control the courts, we control the military, and we make the laws. Now, this is a very simple principle for most people to grasp. We have to make sure that they grasp it. We have to make sure that they get to the NorthwestFront.org website. And we need to bring more people here to the homeland, and we need to begin working here in the homeland to convert the local white people. But we can't do that without priming the pump, and that's where you guys come in.
So I'd just like to clarify this about you, Hacken. Just when all this, I don't know, the bull crap you read online, and everybody, this whole idea of people chasing the buck, and people think you're doing this for money, and... Yeah, exactly. I'd be the first to say that that's just garbage. It's garbage, and they just have to come here.
You might describe the luxurious surroundings you're in here, and my Cadillac that I drive, and all that sort of
your stuff. Escalade on rims there, yeah. And then it's garbage. Don't believe any of that crap you read online. It upsets me even more being here now, seeing for real. I mean, there's always doubts in your mind, but when you get here, you realize it's basically lies.
Yeah. Well, I will say that with me, what you see is what you get. I just frankly wish there was a little more to see and get, but hopefully that will change in the future at some point.
I'm not really sure what people are expecting, but if you can get the truth, which is what you're getting here, that's really all you should expect. I mean, a fancy, shiny building and all that stuff, that's just crap. You know, obviously, if you know anything about real life, that's not how things are. So get out from behind the TV. Look to your left, look to the right. That's real life.
Well, we have one great advantage over our enemies. Of course, they have all the money. They have the people. They have the weapons. They have the law. They have the media. They have all these things. But we do have one thing that they don't have, and that is that we have the truth. The white nationalist or national socialist or white separatist, whatever you want to call our viewpoint, the anti-Semitic viewpoint, or however you want to designate us, we are telling the truth. our version of events makes sense. What we say makes sense. It explains things that nothing else can explain. When you look at life through our viewpoint, the pieces fit together. Our viewpoint holds up to examination. No one else can say that. Basically, for all the money and the manpower and the resources that the system has, the fact is they're still trying to jam lies down people's throats. They are based on falsehood. They are based on untruth. They are based on error and fallacy. Our viewpoint is at least the truth. Unfortunately, that's not a decisive advantage these days, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely. Me discovering, especially historical truth, and after being lied to for 36 years, I can't even begin to explain to you how upset and how pissed off I am. I can't even say it, but...
Okay, I guess it's time for our mid-program music break to relieve the sound of all the droning voices. This comes from a Walt Disney movie that I won't bother to name, but it's a pretty good piece of music, and interestingly enough, the title is Homeland.
Also, too, what upsets me, too, now that I'm informing other people of these historical inaccuracies and just letting them know the truth of what's going on. This is why this works like this, and this is who they are, the Jew. And it's funny to watch them. They just kind of scurry away, or they don't want to hear it. And then most of the time, I think that is because they realize that they did recognize it and do accept it. They're going to be duty-bound to do something about it. Hopefully, that's what I think it is. But some of them, they just want to live in their own little world and think nothing of it and just continue on in their American daydream.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the problem we have. People don't want to listen because instinctively they know that we are right, and they understand that once they accept that we're right, and they accept that the people ruling us are evil, and they accept that we are headed for a catastrophe, they will feel morally obligated to try and do something about it. They know that that will be dangerous. They know that it will be, at the very least, inconvenient. They know that they will be placing their material wealth and their status in the community at risk, which, as herd animals, they are terrified to do. And so I think a lot of the people's rejection of our point of view, of our message, of our information, is kind of a mental self-defense mechanism. White people have conditioned themselves not to know certain things. We try to talk to them about it. They will sometimes literally stick their fingers in their ear and go, la, 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 I'm not listening. But even if they don't do that deliberately, they'll do it mentally. Sometimes you talk to white people and you can kind of hear their minds close. You can see their eyes glaze over because that self-defense mechanism has kicked in and it's been told to shut down and shut out anything that could be dangerous or hazardous to their health in the future. That's something we're going to have to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'd like to say to my comrades out there listening is don't be quite so pissed off because we kind of essentially put ourselves in this by being lazy and not paying attention to what's going on around us. I would implore you guys to just quit bitching. Get out from behind the keyboard, like Harold has said time and time again in the one little year I've been listening to him. There's some of you out there that have been aware all of your lives and you haven't done anything about it except bang on the keyboard.
And that's why it's taken me 36 years to figure this out finally.
Yeah, there's a saying back where we're from. It says, nut up or shut up. So if you're not going to nut up, quit bitching to poor Harold because, oh, Harold, what if I get blisters trying to go do all this heavy lifting? Well, then you get some blisters. Get over it. Nut up or shut up, you know? I'm not trying to say that to be an ass to you guys, but for crying out loud, come on. If I'm up here, I'm never the first person with an idea. And I can promise you, if you're on the fence, come on up. We're going to be here, so there will be people to help you out in any way that we can, but we're not just going to give you shit. You got to do it for yourself. I'm not asking anybody for anything except to point me in the right direction, and that would be my advice to you.
By the way, you guys haven't had any trouble with volcanoes up here since.
Oh, no volcanoes. We actually made a list of.
We've
got a list of. But oh, Harold, maybe I won't like apples. We got a whole list we made.
And I'm sure we could have continued on and on. But the point is nut up or shut up. Get up here and do something. This is liberating being here, seeing all these sights, smelling the air, seeing the way that they do things up here. It's phenomenal.
And also, too, this, just from me being new to this and reading online on these different rivalries between these different organizations. We got to get together in one organization, have your own organization, but pull ourselves together under one banner, at least, or one cause together. Mm-hmm. We have to do that. We have to. Being separated like this is going to do nothing.
One of the things that people in the military always say is to divide people and conquer them. Well, we're pretty damn divided right now. Let's get our shit together and not be such assholes to each other and try to work together for a change. Let's see what happens with that. I'm guessing it's going to be pretty amazing.
By the way, you guys know I wasn't kidding about the volcanoes. We actually have had, I think, more than one individual state that we can't migrate to the Northwest because we've got too many dormant volcanoes, which I suppose is fair enough. You know, you guys have seen Mount Rainier outside, right? Mm-hmm. That's a dormant volcano, and most of the major mountains in the Northwest, like Mount Hood and so forth, are dormant volcanoes. But trying to think what some of the other major objections are. Yeah, tsunamis.
Yeah, if there's a whole list here, Harold.
Yeah, right. If there's a big earthquake in the Pacific, a tsunami is going to wipe out Seattle. Actually, there was an earthquake just before I came up here back 10 years ago. I think this must have been about the year 2000 sometime. I can't remember. They had an earthquake that slightly damaged the state capitol. And of course, since we can't have the ground opening up and swallowing all our new settlers, obviously we can't migrate to the Northwest because earthquakes might get us. I haven't had anyone seriously claim that they were afraid of Bigfoot, but we did have someone who claimed to be afraid because there were too many bears in the woods up here. You guys think I'm making this up? I'm not. White people are great at thinking up excuses to do nothing. We're not very good at much anymore, but that we're crackerjack at. A white man can always think up a good, solid, reasonable, rational reason to do nothing. And that even can include, at times, too many bears in the woods.
I'd like to start with the rebuttal for the bears in the woods. We invented these little tools called guns, and that's probably going to thwart the bear from eating you. And additionally, the earthquakes and the volcanoes, listen, there's homos in Cali that aren't worried about it, and their situation with earthquakes is a lot worse than up here.
But, oh, Harold, there's niggers up here, too, in Washington. I mean, we got a whole list we made up.
What you're getting at, see, no, this is something I run into before. People believe that before we can migrate anywhere, it has to be perfect. It has to be 100% white. All of them have to be white nationalist or Christian identity or whatever. And as we roll into town, they must throw flowers at our feet. We're never going to find anything perfect like that in the world. When I was growing up, I had the mistaken idea that Rhodesia and South Africa were the great white paradises. A lot of people did at that time. Now, as it happened, I was able to live in both of those countries, and while they were great places to live, and I will always be thankful that I saw them before they vanished from history forever, I found when I got there that, no, they were not the great white paradise. I found that the white people there mostly were not white nationalist or national socialist in the sense that I was. They had this old line British colonial paternalist attitude towards blacks. Well, you know, very childlike and all that. Maybe one day in the future we'll uplift them to our level. But in the meantime, one mustn't be cruel to them, you know. One must make allowances and that sort of stuff. So a lot of the people in Rhodesia and South Africa weren't actual racists, believe it or not. They were just sort of paternalist. The point I'm trying to get at is that there is no such thing as an existing white paradise anywhere. We are going to have to make it. That is what this whole project of ours is about. We are going to make a homeland where our people can come when they are in danger, when they are in trouble, and when they are just sick at heart from having to live around these black and brown animals. They'll have a place to go like we never have had before.
Also, it's kind of funny you're bringing up South Africa here, and I just had my last humanities class back home there, and out of the final exam, there are three answers to the problem they said with South Africa was because of white supremacy. That's how screwed up our whole entire system is right now. These are three of the college answers to the problem with South Africa. It was, oh, it's because of white supremacy. I was just in shock when I saw those on the test.
A lot of people still to this day don't get that apartheid meant separation. It was not white supremacy. Actually, the Afrikaans word for white supremacy is baskop, which means bosshood. And before 1948, there was baskop in South Africa. Basically, the whites were on top and they just told the Kaffirs what to do. But after 1948, each major tribal and linguistic group got their own country. In essence, the South African apartheid government was trying to do there what we're trying to do here. Each tribe and whatnot got their own nation, the Transkei for the Xhosa, KwaZulu for the Zulu, so forth and so on. And, of course, the rest of the world refused to recognize these homelands. But the whole idea behind apartheid was racial separation, not supremacy. In essence, this is what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to take over the entire United States and lord it over blacks or browns or anything like that, or slaughter them all or anything like that. All we're asking is that we be given a small stretch of territory in the country that our ancestors created. The trouble is, of course, we won't be given that, so we're going to have to take it. But that's basically all we're after, is a homeland for our own people where we can actually raise children in physical and moral safety and where we won't become extinct. It's kind of like retransplanting wolves into the wild. We have to recover a habitat, so to speak.
Yeah, I would suggest you maybe look at your kid in the face, or your children if you have children. Look at them in the face and try to picture them in 10 years as they're getting beat up at school by the MUDs or worse.
A flash mob, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We got enough of those in Florida.
Yeah, when I was growing up, we even had what was called Cracker Day already. And mind you, I'm not that old. So you want to send your kid to a school where they have a Cracker Day where they're going to beat up your little white kid? That to me is absolutely unacceptable, and that merits getting up out from behind the computer and going to do something. I'm not telling you to hurt anybody. I'm not telling you to be a dick to anybody. All that takes a whole lot more effort than what I'm doing right now. To be quite honest with you, it hasn't really been all that hard. Nowhere close to as hard as I thought it would be. And it's dropped my blood pressure.
I've noticed that there are two experiences that tend to wake people up in a big way racially, and that's experience with an integrated school or school system, and experience in the military, where all of a sudden you are in any situation in which you are in enforced close quarters with blacks and browns turns white people racist. There's a kind of a misconception that white racism is due to our ignorant upbringing or whatever. But not really. Racism is caused by blacks, and anti-Mexican racism is caused by Mexicans. It's caused by white people learning exactly what these people are like. It's very much a case of familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah, I would have to say that's absolutely true. I'm not saying that all blacks are necessarily horrible, evil animals. There are some exceptions, but if you go to the grocery store and you buy a bag of grapes and you find 3 moldy grapes, are you going to fish them out or are you going to toss the whole damn bag or take it back? All right. Here's a couple of good ones that we've... This is just some of these.
We made some excuses for you guys, so you don't have to think. We already got them here for you.
Yeah, here we go. You can just borrow these. We've already covered the tsunami.
Oh, but Harold, parking in downtown Seattle, $7 for a half hour.
Let's see. What's another good one?
Oh, but Harold, traffic up there's a bitch.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is, which is frankly why I don't drive in the city.
Or, oh, but Harold, there's mosquitoes up there, too. Oh, but Harold, your beaches have too much sand. That's another one. Mm-hmm.
Oh, did anybody object to the wolves? When I first came to the homeland in 2002, I moved to Centralia, Washington, and there's a little town near Centralia. It's between Centralia and Olympia called Tenino. Basically, there was a railway stop that on the map was 1090 or 1090, whatever. Anyway, it was referred to as 10, 9, and 0, and that became Tenino. Anyway, this little town, when I was there in Centralia, had a little bit of not a problem, but there were a number of wolf sightings because various park rangers and wildlife people have been trying to reintroduce wolves back into the wild, and they appear to be having some success. And so when I was there, they had a number of sightings of a wild wolf pack near Tenino, Washington. And so I remember thinking at the time, well, if the word gets out there, people will use that as an excuse to not come to the Northwest homeland. They're afraid their children will be devoured by wolves. It'll be like the Russian folktale. They're going to church in the sleigh and the wolves start chasing them and they have to throw their children off the sleigh one to the wolves. It's just like, as I said, white people are just incredibly ingenious at thinking up excuses to remain where they are, continue sitting on the same sofa, and to do nothing.
Yeah, we are kind of good at that. But the thing I would say about all the wolves and all the things that the wildlife, listen, we got scorpions where we're from. We've got poisonous snakes, dozens of them. And
gators.
Gators, yeah, that's right, gators. And the gators live in neighborhoods, folks. You don't even have to go up to the woods to find them gators.
They might get in a swimming pool if you got one.
Yeah, actually, we found snakes in our pools, gators in our pools. I had a gator in front of my driveway.
Yeah.
So that's the bitch excuse. You can't use that. I think that the most plausible excuse that I've come up with, and this, you're going to like this.
Oh, but Harold, why do I got to go first?
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody's got to.
Yeah. When it boils down to, seriously, the objection that most people have or the reason that they give for not migrating here when they're honest, and sometimes they are, is just plain, number one, I'm afraid to lose what I have. I'm afraid to lose my job and my comfortable house and my comfortable sofa here. Yeah, things are pretty crappy here, but at least I've got a little bit of stuff. Americans think in those terms. All my stuff's here, man. and they are afraid of losing what little they have. And yeah, that's a legitimate fear. If you relocate, you will have to give up what you have. And you're just going to have to steel yourself to understand that this is a sacrifice that you're going to have to make. We are going to have to cut our mental and moral and emotional ties with things. Americans are prisoners of their things. They're prisoners of their stuff. Americans think more of their stuff than they do of their children. And that's pretty horrible, but I mean, what can I tell you? That's it. Because if they didn't think more of their stuff than of their children, they'd be getting the hell out of most places where they live right now because they'd see what's coming. And well, I've gone into all that before. But another reason that I get, and this is kind of hard to quantify into words, but they'll get, "Harold, yeah, I know you're right. I know we need to make a country of our own. I know the Northwest is the best place, but I just ain't gonna move." Okay, well, if you know that I'm right and you know that this is the way things should be, why? And the best way I can put it is, well, because I don't want to, and you're not the boss of me. Me. You tell me what to do. It's hard to put into words, but basically, and again, I can understand it. It's just this resentment that a lot of white people have at being disturbed by all this. A lot of white people resent the living hell out of having to deal with this whole situation at all. And they should. People shouldn't have to worry about nigger crime, nigger drugs, corrupt government, insane wars, $4 per gallon gasoline, that sort of stuff. People shouldn't have to have all this worry. People shouldn't have to walk around with blood pressure 220 over 130 because they're just so aggravated. People shouldn't have to worry about things like losing your house to medical bills and this kind of stuff. We live in an unnatural, horrible world, and most people resent the hell out of it. And I think when somebody comes along who tries, with the best of intentions, to tell them what to do about it, they just get snapped at because white people are just so resentful at being constantly pushed around all the time that I think it's almost like a reflex action. "Oh, you're trying to come in here and tell me what to do. Grr." So I think that's part of it as well. And again, this is something we're just going to have to educate ourselves out of. You're going to have to sort of calm down, look at this whole thing reasonably and say, "Look, this is something that's got to be done. Yeah, it's this other guy, Harold, it's his idea, or it's somebody else's idea. Yeah, in a sense, I'm doing what somebody else tells me to do, and that's bruising to my ego, but I just got to accept that there are times when you got to do what you got to do." And I'm rambling again, but I mean, I don't know if I'm making any sense here, but the psychology of white Americans is a very strange and very delicate thing. We are really, as a people, screwed up in the head. And part of that comes from the fact that we have such complex minds and complex thought and emotional processes that it's easy to mess with our heads. That's, in a way, one thing you can say about niggers, one reason they're easy to control. It's not hard to manipulate niggers or Mexicans because they consist basically of appetites to be satisfied. White people are capable of thinking, they are capable of complex feeling and emotion, and so when people manipulate us for a couple of generations, we end up really messed up in the head, and I think it all boils down to that, frankly. White people are just damaged after three generations of living in a completely Judaic materialistic society, and the result is that a lot of them are unreceptive to our message because basically their circuits have been shorted out. And I'm rambling again. Sorry. You guys were supposed to be talking about it. I've got an idea there.
Contrary to the idea that people are saying, "Oh, but this is Harold's idea. I don't want to do what he says." And no, this is bigger than Harold. Harold, yes, it's Harold's the spokesman for this. This is so much bigger than him. There's no membership cards in this. If you're enough, you say you're enough. But you're not really being enough until you're here in the homeland. That's basically what it comes down to. It's bigger than him.
Well, the only reason I use the name Northwest Front is because, frankly, we need some kind of designation for that part of the movement that's affiliated with me and with my novels, etc. And we need some way to designate that other than, "Hey, you," yeah, or "those guys," you know. So basically, it's a label because we kind of need some kind of label just so you can distinguish between us and, you know, the NSM and the skinheads and the Volksfront and all that sort of stuff. But other than that, the Northwest Front needs to be an organism, not an organization. That, by the way, again, is not original with me. That goes back to Commander Rockwell, but you get the idea.
And as far as losing everything that you've worked your whole entire life for, aside from what's really important, which is family, I have lost everything. And you know what? It's really not all that bad. It's not as bad as you would think it is. It's just scary if you have shit to lose. But once you've lost it, it ain't bad.
Tom and I are not trying to be a bunch of asses either. We hope to see all you comrades up here, and we can do this.
Yeah, let's work together.
That's the reason I did this piece with you guys. Again, it's important for people to hear other voices than mine, and it's important for people to know that it is being done and that I'm not just, you know, sitting here fantasizing or whatever, that there are other people involved. And slowly but surely, we are making progress. We're not making enough progress, and periodically, I rant and rave and tell everybody to pull their socks up because we're not making enough progress, but it is moving forward.